Now, the first king that we mentioned after Solomon was Rehoboam. Rehoboam reigned from 930 to 913 BC. He reigned 17 years. He was bad. He did not get along with Jeroboam, as we pointed out. He was the grandson of David. He got into evil. If you're open to 1 Kings chapter 14, you'll notice in verse 21, now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel. Put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonitess. Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy more than all their fathers had done with the sins which they committed, for they also built for themselves high places and sacred pillars and Asherim on every high hill and beneath every luxuriant tree. There were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to the abominations of the nations of which the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. So Rehoboam, who was the grandson of David, got into evil, got into idolatry. He ends up dying in 913 BC. Which, by the way, what you learn from this is you could come from a great background and pedigree and still end up a loser when it comes to God. I mean, Rehoboam comes from David. That's his grandfather, and Solomon's his father. And Solomon, certainly, when you read through Proverbs, he has this my son section where he keeps saying, my son, listen to this. My son, listen to this. You'll keep reading that in the first 9 chapters. My son, hear me. Listen to me. He taught him, but it went in one ear and out the other, so he ends up dying. He's a bad king. Now, the king that takes over after Rehoboam is Abijah, sometimes called Abijam. And in 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 31, we read, Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, became king in his place. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. He walked in all the sins of his father, which he had committed before him, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, like the heart of his father David. But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise up his son after him to establish Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and did not turn from any that commanded him all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles between kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, became king in his place. So Abijah is the son of Rehoboam, and ultimately he dies. He reigned for 3 years, and he was bad. Now the next one to come after Abijah is Asa. And that shows up, obviously, in verse 8 there. Asa, his son, became king in his place. Asa was a king who reigned 41 years from 911 to 870 BC. He was good, and he was a guy who, if you look at 2 Chronicles, and now I want to switch over to 2 Chronicles. We're going to be in there for a while. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Let's start at verse 11. Now the acts of Asa, from first to last, are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa slept with his fathers, having died in the 41st year of his reign. Asa reigned 41 years, was basically good. He did a lot of decent things, but here was the problem. Toward the end of his life, he apparently became somewhat proud and self-reliant. Here's what happens. He got some foot disease. And instead of him going to God and humbling himself before the Lord and asking God to heal him, then consulting the doctors, he basically said, in this case, I'll just talk to the doctors and not going to talk to God. God took his life. He became self-reliant. He was no longer dependent upon the Lord. So the Lord basically allowed him to die. And there's good principle for us to glean here, and that is it's important to talk to doctors, but it's also important to pray about the physical issue. Because if you get to the point where you say, well, I'm just going to trust the doctor, but I'm not going to turn to the Lord, that's a very serious thing for the people of God. It certainly was for King Asa. Now, Asa was replaced by his son Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I want you to notice verse 31, 2 Chronicles 31. Now, Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shelee. He walked in the way of his father Asa and did not depart from it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed. The people had not directed their hearts to God, the God of their fathers. He ultimately was a good king. He reigned for 25 years from 870 BC to 848 BC. He was a statesman who made kind of a peace agreement with Israel. Notice verse 35 of 2 Chronicles 20. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel. He acted wickedly in doing so. So he allied himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made ships to Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavahu of Mereshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because you allied yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your works." So the ships were broken and could not go to Tarshish. Now, what apparently Jehoshaphat did, which did not please the Lord, is he made a political alliance. It appeared to be a real statesman-like thing to do. You're making an agreement with Israel to the north, and you're building ships together, and it's a business contract type of thing. So you look at it from a human perspective and say, well, this is good. We have a politician making deals with this nation, and we're involved in business things. And God was angered by that. I mean, it angered God. He hadn't consulted the Lord in any bit of this. And so as a result of this, he ends up being taken out. But basically, he reigned 25 years, and his reign was good. Now, he was replaced by Jehoram, and he reigned from 848 B.C. to 841 B.C., and I want you to look at chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles, verse 16. Then the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabs who bordered the Ethiopians, and they came against Judah and invaded it and carried away all the possessions found in the king's house together with his sons and his wife, so that no son was left to him except Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. So after this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable sickness. Now it came about in the course of time, at the end of 2 years, that his bowels came out because of his sickness, and he died in great pain. And his people made no fire for him like the fire of his fathers. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and he departed with no one's regret. And they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Jehoram was a bad king. He reigned 8 years. And as the text brings out, God allowed him to get some type of serious sickness, which ultimately killed him. And when he died, nobody cared. I mean, here had been a leader, and nobody even cared that he was gone, which is kind of pathetic. But that's the way it was for this person who ultimately had been a king of Judah. And again, the principle is this. You're coming from a line of people here who had a great background in their relationship with the Lord, but these guys drift away from that. And as a result, they're taking themselves and the nation Israel away from the Lord. And as you'll see, as we continue on in this journey, Israel is going to move way away from God, which is where, frankly, she is tonight. She's way away from the Lord. Now, the king who replaced Jehoram was Ahaziah. And he reigned in 841 B.C., and he reigned for 1 year. If you look at chapter 22, verse 1, then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place, for the band of men who came with the Arabs to the camp and slain all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Now remember, Jehoram has died of this disease that God gave him to kill him. And so now Ahaziah is made king. He was 22 years old when he became king. His mother's name was Athaliah and is the granddaughter of Armah. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor, to do wickedly. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to destruction. So here is Ahaziah replacing Jehoram, and he's just as evil a politician as can be. He reigns for 1 year. Now watch what happens in verse 8. It came about when Jehu was executing judgment in the house of Ahab. He found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers ministering to Ahaziah and slew them. He also sought Ahaziah, and they caught him while he was hiding in Samaria. They brought him to Jehu, put him to death, and buried him. For they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So there was no one in the house of Ahaziah to retain the power of the kingdom. The people recognized how evil Ahaziah was, that they said, put him to death and bury him. I mean, he doesn't even deserve to live. And that's what happened to him. Then, because he only reigned for a year, he was replaced by Queen Athaliah, who ultimately was the mother of Ahaziah, and she was the one who was promoting all of this evil stuff. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 22, and notice verse 10, I'm highlighting things in 2 Chronicles 22, verse 10. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeah, the king's daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him in his nurse in his bedroom. So Jehoshabeah, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she would not put him to death. This woman was so evil that she's killing her own children and her own grandchildren. If you look at chapter 23 and verse 12, when Ahaziah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came into the house of the Lord of the people. She looked, and behold, the king was standing by his pillar at the entrance, and the captains and the trumpeters were beside the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets and singers with their praise. Then Ahaziah tore her clothes and said, treason, treason. Jehoiada the priest brought out the captain of hundreds who were appointed, bring her out between the ranks, and whoever follows her, put her to death with a sword. For the priest said, let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord. So they seized her, and when she arrived at the entrance of the horse gate of the king's house, there they put her to death. So Queen Ahaziah, she reigned 6 years. This was a cruel, vindictive, evil woman who was power crazy. And she just wanted power, and that's what she was after. And when anybody got in her way, or she saw that perhaps someone was in her family who might replace her, she had to kill, killing her own children, killing her own grandchildren. That's how vindictive this is. Then she was replaced by Jehoash, called Joash at times, who reigned for 40 years. He was a good king. He reigned from 835 to 796 B.C. He was 7 years old, and he wanted to obey God. If you look at 2 Chronicles 24:1, Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah from Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he became the father of sons and daughters. But in the end, he gets sick, and notice in chapter 24, verse 25, when they had departed from him, this is Joash, they left him very sick. His own servants conspired against him because the blood of the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and murdered him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the king. So Joash reigned 40 years, basically a good king. When he got sick, he was just left to die. Now this is the history of Israel. This is the history of this. I'm just taking you through scripture and pointing these things out. But this is critical to the history of Israel because this was their kings, not God's king. They're choosing political leaders here, but they're not really in tune with consulting God, and yet God is still sovereign even in all of this. Now, Joash, when he was dead, was replaced by Amaziah. And Amaziah reigned for 29 years, and he was basically a good king. He reigned from 796 B.C. to 781 B.C., but he got into a little trouble too, because if you look in chapter 25 and verse 14, now after Amaziah came from the slaughtering the Edomites, he brought the gods of the sons of Seir, set them up as his gods, bowed down before them, and burned incense to them. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said, why have you sought the gods of the people who have not delivered their own people from your hand? As he was talking with him, the king said to him, "Have we appointed you a royal counselor? Stop. Why would you be struck down?" Then the prophet stopped and said, "I know that God has planned to destroy you, because you've done this and you've not listened to my counsel." Now drop down to verse 27. "From the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there, and they brought him on horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah." Amaziah reigned for 29 years, basically a good king, but then he just got off track. They didn't stay cemented in their commitment to the Lord. It's like so many people that they start off good, they seem to be rolling, and then they just get way out there and far away from God. And then life is not going to end happily ever after for those people. It never does. Which brings us now to Uzziah. Uzziah replaces Amaziah. He was the king from 781 B.C. to 740 B.C. He reigned for 52 years, and he starts out good, but he ends up bad. He was 16 when he became king. He had tremendous military successes. He beat the Arabs and the Ammonites, and he revived Jerusalem. But then, if you go to chapter 26, and you look at verse 17, we read, "Then Azariah, the priest, entered in after him with 80 priests of the Lord, and they opposed Uzziah, the king, and said to him, 'It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord.'" He's just getting too big for his britches. And he thinks he's now in a position where he can do what a priest is supposed to do. So we read, verse 18, "But for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense, get out of the sanctuary. For you've been unfaithful, and you will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they hurried him out of there. And he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, has written, "So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave, which belonged to the kings, for they said, 'He is a leper,' and Jotham, his son, became king in his place." So Uzziah, ultimately, because he offered offerings in the tabernacle, which he had no right to do, he just thought, "I'll do it anyway because I'm king." He paid a high price for that, and he dies a leper. He's replaced by Jotham. Jotham is a king who serves for 16 years. He's basically a good king. All of them have some issues, but he's basically a good king. And ultimately, Jotham is replaced by Ahaz. Ahaz served 16 years from 736 B.C. to 716 B.C. And I want to pick up the narrative about him in verse 1 of chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He did not do right in the sight of the Lord as David his father had done, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He also made molten images for the Baals. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of Ben-Hinnom and burned his sons in fire according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. This guy served 16 years and he was bad. He imitated the kings of Israel. He built altars to false gods. He worshipped the false gods. And ultimately, he dies in 716 B.C. He's replaced by Hezekiah. Hezekiah is the king of Judah from 716 to 687 B.C. He served for 29 years, and he was good. This is, to me, interesting. Ahaz, we just read that about Ahaz, who's this lousy, evil king, who's worshiping idols and promoting that. Now he has a son who's named Hezekiah. Hezekiah is an upright, righteous man, which tells you that you can come from any type of background and end up doing a great work for the Lord, which Hezekiah does do. Because when Hezekiah becomes the king, he brings righteousness back into existence. He restores true worship in Jerusalem. And, in fact, he was so pleasing to the Lord that when he got sick and he was going to die, he asked God to extend his life. Flip over to chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles in verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah gave no return to the benefit he received, because his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came on him and on Judah and on Jerusalem. However, Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come on them in the days of Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah had immense riches and honor, and he made for himself treasuries for silver, gold, precious stones, spices, shields, and all kinds of valuable articles. Now, Hezekiah apparently fell into that Asa trap briefly, in which he was a little proud and he was a little overconfident in himself, but he repented of it. And as a result of that, God spared his life, answered his prayer, extended his life, and blessed him abundantly. And he reigned as a good king for 29 years. He was replaced by his son, whose name was Manasseh. And Manasseh reigns from 697 B.C. to 642 B.C. This guy was an evil, evil guy. He served 55 years and he was evil. In fact, if you look at chapter 32 and verse 33, so Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the upper section of the tombs of the son of David, and all of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem honored him at his death, and his son Manasseh became king in his place. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel, because he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah's father had broken down. He also erected altars for the Baals. He made Asherim and worshipped all the host of heaven, and he served them. I mean, this guy just pursued wickedness. Verse 9 says, thus Manasseh misled Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. So this was a guy who actually killed prophets. He pursued wickedness. He led Judah to do more wickedness than any of the other leaders. He ends up serving 55 years. Again, I want to make an observation. God is sovereign. He's allowing these political leaders. But you know, he's allowing it because nobody righteous is stepping up at the plate and saying, this is evil. This is wrong. I mean, whenever somebody would do that and turn to the Lord, he would intervene. But this was the society in which they were living. They were just drifting along and going along with his leadership, even though his leadership was completely corrupt. Now, our time is gone tonight. We're going to have to finish this, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. We'll finish these kings and then move on to the continuation of what happens. So as you can see here from this, Israel's been promised a king. Israel's been promised that there would be a righteous king who would reign over her in total righteousness. She hasn't had it. She has not had it. As we saw last time we were together, by 722 B.C., the kings of Israel in the north are all gone. And as you'll see, Lord willing, next Wednesday night, by 586 B.C., the kings in the south of Judah, they're all gone. So that leaves us with the question, well, where's the king? Where's the king? Who is the king? Well, that king is going to show up. And of course, you know who that king is. And when he shows up the first time, and he is the king, the righteous king, who fits all the criteria of being God's anointed king, this nation is going to reject him. Which is why they're in the mess they're in tonight. It's why they don't have the land tonight. If the religious leadership of Israel would come to terms with this truth, and would say to the nation, we need to turn right now to our King of Kings, Jesus Christ, they would turn that nation completely around. But they're not going to do it. It's going to take the tribulation to back this proud nation into a corner to the point where they finally cry out to the Lord. Okay, so that's our study for tonight. Thanks for coming tonight. The Lord bless you.